going to talk about a prayer for the church. A prayer for the church from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. And think about, you are the state of the church. And I'm not saying the state of the church is good or bad, but I am saying there's a lot of people in the world who are hurting, who are far from God. And as a church, we are designed and we're supposed to go get people and help people. You know, we have churches and people online arguing back and forth and airing dirty laundry and doing this. We got scandals breaking out everywhere. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, he shifted from teaching to a prayer for the church. And today we just want to kind of look at a few verses, okay, and talk about these verses. So this is Paul in verse 14, and we're going to kind of go by like verse by verse, okay, and just kind of look at his prayer. What does that mean for us? Encourage you as well and see what we're talking about. So for probably the whole year, we're going to be talking about rooted in love. Okay, and we're the beloved church of Kalamazoo, so we're going to say rooted in love. And before I even start, y'all, first, I just want to thank you all for being here. All right, so thank you. Let me slow down. Thank you for being here. I appreciate your presence. Thank you, and shout out to the board. The board is important and provides leadership to this ministry. I'm accountable to the board and to you all. So if I'm out of line, the board checks me, sits me down, kick me out. They have four right and control to do what they need to do. So I'm just not like doing whatever I want to do and get away with it. It don't work like that, okay? So I think that's important for me to say publicly, especially on this first time. So shout out to the board. Shout out to my mom, you know what I'm saying? My mom Dukes, all right? Appreciate her, love. My Aunt Shirley, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my aunt, my mother-in-law, Danya, you know, And all of you, really. So I just want to thank you all. And to my wife, who's holding it down at home, who's supporting. Again, I'll be up here with a kid here, and holding one, crying and talking. So thank you so much to Dayan for, you know, being willing to hold down the family, hold down the kids while I do what God called me to do. All right. And please give it up one more time for Destiny as well. You know what I'm saying? Phenomenal job. Playing the guitar, singing, leading us into God's presence. We appreciate you and thank you so much. All right. So, okay, let's jump into it so I won't be long. This is Paul. And in Ephesians 1 and 2, Paul is talking about the church being blessed with every spiritual blessing. He has so many promises for us. He's talking about salvation, how we're saved by faith and not by works. Paul is just teaching in the earlier stages of chapter 3. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles and the mystery of God. And he's really teaching. He's in a teaching mode, explaining to this church in Ephesus, like, the character of God and what God has for us. And then in verse 14, all of a sudden, he says, "For this reason, I bend my knees before the Father." So he shifted from teaching to praying. So I want to preach his prayer. Okay, I want to preach his prayer. He said, "For this reason, because of the mystery of God, that God wants to save Jew and Gentile." Okay, now there's arguments on who the real Jews is. Guess what? I don't think it really mattered because God saved us all. God has blessed us all with an Abraham covenant. God has done all his work for all human beings. So he said, "I'm going to pray." Verse 15, "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Think about that. He's praying for everybody, the whole church, not a certain group, not a certain race, not a certain sexuality, not a certain culture. He's praying for everybody, okay? Because if we're going to do this love thing right, it got to be for everybody. It can't be clicked up. It can't be one person sweeter than the other. It can't be this. God shows no favor nor partiality. All right? Okay, here we go. Verse 16. Let me look at my notes a little bit. Let me see what I wrote. Verse 16. Here we go. "So that he would grant you." Now listen, he's praying that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Think about that. Now, if I were to grant you something according to the riches of my bank account, You know, it might be $100, $200, you know what I'm saying? All right. All right. If Elon Musk, if he was like, I'm going to bless you according to the riches of his bank account, if he gave you $100, that wouldn't be according to the riches of his glory. Because Elon got like a few billion. Now, if he gave you $100 million, that's according to the riches of his bank account. Paul said, I want God to grant you according to the riches of his glory. How much is that? How much is in the storehouse of God who owns everything, who possess all power, all knowledge, all glory, all weight? It's a lot. And we're going to need it. We're going to need all of it. Okay? So according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner self or the inner man. That's the part of you you can't taste, touch, smell. You can't detect. It's like that spirit part of you where every decision flows out of. It's the part you have no idea that it really exists, but it influences everything. He said he wants to strengthen you with power through his spirit. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has given you power through his spirit. And Paul is saying, I want your inner man to be strengthened. Think about that. You going through. You got stuff going on. Stuff is bothering you. You stressed out. You depressed. You can't handle certain life situations. This is going on. That's going on. That's going on all around you. Paul is saying, if you're strengthened through your inner man, you can handle it. But oftentimes, we're weak in our inner man for various reasons. The reason don't matter. We're weak in our inner man. We can't handle certain stuff or stand under certain stuff. So Paul is saying, like, he wants you to be strengthened. Let me look at my notes again. I wrote down some good stuff. the inner man, that's the heart, the subconscious, the mind where our lives flow from. It's the deepest inner part of you that God is after. And we think God is after our behavior. We think God is after our intellect. We think God is after our bank account. We think God is after what we wear and what we drive. God is after your inner man. Because God is saying, if I can strengthen the deepest part of you where your spirit lies, everything else will take care of itself. All right? Okay, here we go. So we're going to go into verse 17. So now, there's three reasons. These are not 3 points, but it's just kind of 3 reasons, okay? Because he's done all that so that there's a reason why God wants us to be strengthened through his spirit in the inner self. There's a reason. It says, so that when we're strengthened in our inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is making an argument that if God doesn't grant this prayer, then we won't have the capacity for Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith. That it takes strength in the inner man to handle Christ being in our hearts through faith. Think about it. Think about this. If the foundation is not strong, if the foundation, y'all know the three little pigs, right? If you build your building with sticks and straw. If you build your house through sticks and straw and the wind come and the storm come, it's going to blow over because there's no strength in it. There's no power in the hay or the sticks. But if you build it with brick and lay a solid foundation and the winds blow and the life comes at you, your house won't move because you've been strengthened. Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, does us no good if our inner man is not strong enough. We got to be able to handle it, handle him, telling us what to do and leading our lives. That you may be rooted and grounded in love. That's that agape love. It's the God type of love. It's the impossible type of love. Love being rooted and grounded in this type of love, it sets our foundation. The whole foundation, the prayer that Paul is praying for the church is that the church be rooted and grounded in love. If you look in Revelation chapter 2 and go to the letter John was writing to all the churches, one of those churches was Ephesus. And he said, I know your good works. You have done phenomenal things for the kingdom. I'm paraphrasing. You are doing great. But he said, I got one thing against you. And this is what I need you to do. I need you to return to your first love. And Paul is simply saying, church, I need you to return to your first love. All right. Okay, here we go. Let's go a little further. All right. So we be rooted and grounded in love, all right? And love is our way of life, that we may be able, now if we're not rooted and grounded in love, we won't be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth of that love. So God is saying, or Paul is saying, I want you to be able to comprehend with all the saints, everybody we read about in the scripture, I want you to be able to comprehend and relate with all the saints what is the length, width, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ. Well, I feel like that verse is cut off. I don't like it. Hold on. My bad. I feel like there's something else in that verse. I'm missing it. This technology is crazy. Okay. That's why I keep a paper Bible in deck. Verse 18. Oh, no, that's right. And length and to know. That's right. All right. Thank you, Michelle. You're helping me. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. So you could be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, length, width, and depth, and to know the love of Christ. This is the kicker, which surpasses knowledge. Whoa. The love of Christ surpasses knowledge. You can't even understand how much he loves you. The only way you're able to understand how much he loves you, if he reveals it to you, because it surpasses knowledge. Like, do y'all know what surpasses knowledge look like? Okay, let me help you. All right. Go to Job 38. You don't got to go there. I'm going to go there for you. Job 38. All right. In Job, God is talking with Job. Job is talking with God. They kind of going back and forth and arguing. And that's why I don't mind arguing with God. It's okay. Like, God, you really tripping. And God be like, let me tell you something. All right. And Job 38, listen what Job said. Listen what God said to Job as they was going back and forth. All right. They was having a conversation. In verse 38, God said to Job, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that dart counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins, get ready like a man. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Y'all, that get ready wasn't in there. Okay. and I will ask you and you instruct me. Listen to verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Surpasses knowledge. Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements? Since you know. That was in there. Or who stretched the line on it? Or where were its bases sunk? Or who laid the cornerstone? Where the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors? You ain't even know the sea had doors. When bursting forth, it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment and the thick darkness its swaddling band and placed the boundaries upon it and set the boat and the doors, and I said, this is how far you will come, but no further. And here you will pour your waves and stop. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? Now, I could keep reading, but as you read, these are things that's unknowable. You have no idea how the sun moves, how the earth moves and spins. It surpasses knowledge. And what God is saying through Paul is that I want you to know how much I love you, but you can't comprehend it. And the only way you can know that is to get a revelation from me. All right, here we go. What God is trying to do, at the same time he's trying to get you to comprehend love, never forget that God is love. So when he's giving you revelation about love, he's really giving you revelation about himself. Because God and love, you can't separate the two. So when God gives you revelation about love, he gives you revelation about himself. And that's a beautiful thing. And I don't know about you, but I believe that in this moment in time, we need a revelation of God's love. Because everybody shout on verse 20, oh, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. We talking about being full of the Spirit? No, being full of the Spirit is being full of love. Like, we got it all twisted. Like Jesus tells us over, and we're going to be looking at it too, over and over and over again, to love one another. He don't even tell us to love him, because he said the way you love me is to love each other. You want to see me get mad at my kids? Watch one of my kids hurt my other kid. I'm furious. Like, one of my kids just ran up, smacked him in the face. I'm hot. You know what I'm saying? But why? Because you're hurting each other. And I can't stand when there's division and pain among my kids. So that's what God is saying. He's saying, I want you to be full with the fullness of God, but I need you to be able on some level to be comprehend what is the height, the depth, the length, and the depth of his love, which surpasses all knowledge and understanding. Now, here's the part where we all want to shout. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We all get excited about that, but we forget that all this exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think is talking about revealing to us the love that he has for us. Think about it. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Think about it, okay? Paul just said his love surpasses knowledge. Now, since his love surpasses knowledge, we're saying God is able to do or to give you understanding that surpasses knowledge. Did that make sense? God is able to show you how much he loves you. And I believe God is able to show you this even right now in this very moment. Because as a church, we need this prayer. As individuals, we need this prayer. There's some things you shamed about, you guilty about, you messed up, you made mistakes, you sinned, you dropped the ball, you failed, you over and over and over again, and you have been tormented in your spirit, like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I can't possibly move forward, and God is saying, I love you so much, will you see how much I love you? Can you comprehend and understand that no matter what you're doing, no matter where you've been through, what you've been through, I love you. And that's why Jesus went on the cross. He went on the cross to actually be an example of that love, that I love you so much, I died for you. I was resurrected because I want to show you how much I love you. So my question to you all today is, are you able to receive his love? Like, for real, like, can we stop walking around in shackles, trying to please other people, trying to do this and try to perform and try to earn his love? You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do. I'm going to tell you one more story and I'm done, for real. We out of here. We got to go. I got to get this story. Okay. Have y'all heard of the story? It's called The Rich Young Ruler. Okay, there's a rich young ruler. He had a whole bunch of bread. And he walked up to Jesus and he said, yo, Jesus, how do I, All right, this is where he messed up with Jesus. How do I inherit eternal life? He like, how do I get into heaven? So Jesus was like, okay, you know, just keep all the commandments. He said, man, I've been keeping all the commandments since I've been young. And what Jesus does, he flips the script on my man. Have you anybody done high jump in here? High jump, okay. Anybody else high jump? High jump, okay, Reggie got hops, all right. Y'all know what high jump is? Okay, with the bar, you gotta jump over it, okay. Now, how do you train somebody to be good at high jump? You set the bar real low and you let them jump over it. And then when they do that, you work on their technique and you say, okay, I'm gonna raise the bar a little higher. So the bar goes a little higher, you jump, okay, you're good. I'm gonna raise it a little higher. Well, what Jesus did was he raised the bar through the roof. He said, I want you to jump over this. And he told the rich young ruler, he said, I need you to sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he did it, and the scripture says he looked at him and loved him when he said it. And guess what that rich young ruler did? He said, it's too much. I can't do that. And he walked away sad. People think that story means that Jesus is selling salvation. That if you got a lot of money, you can't go to heaven. That wasn't the part Jesus was trying to say. You don't know nobody on earth who sold all their possessions so they can have a relationship with Jesus. It don't even make sense. But we look at the scripture that way, and that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was actually saying, I'm after your inner man. And I want to let you know there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. It's impossible. You can't jump that high. You can't give that much. You can't sacrifice that much. You can't serve that much. You can't pray that much. You can't fast that much. There's nothing you can do to earn my love. The only thing to do is receive it. And how do you receive it? You got to believe what he said about you, and you got to believe and trust what he says about you. That's how you receive it. It's not rocket science. If God said, I loved you, okay, God, great. I received that love. I believe you love me. If God say, I'm forgiven, you know what? Even though I just sinned 5 minutes ago, I just believe I'm forgiven. I receive that love. Whatever God said about you, receive it. And that's what we're going to be working on in the beloved Church of Kalamazoo, is receiving God's love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Appreciate you. All right. Appreciate you. All right. So that's what we're going to be working on. And at this time, listen, our invitation, I just kind of believe everybody in here know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, just come talk to me. Okay. We ain't doing all that. Raise your hand. Come to the front. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. All right. I'm a millennial, though. We millennial churching, okay? All right. Let's, you know. Yeah, we don't want to do that no more, okay? All right. Like, just come talk to me, okay? So if you need Jesus, come talk to me, all right? And we'll make sure you're good. And this is what we're asking as we launch this church. We're asking for one or three things. One, will you support us in prayer? Okay? Like, hey, I'm just committed to praying. And when you commit to praying, we're going to give you updates, and we have prayer requests where we can send to you on a monthly basis where it's like, hey, can you pray for us in these areas? Okay? Because God said our house should be a house of prayer. We got to pray. All right? More than we preach, more than we sing, like, we need to be praying a lot more. Okay? Two, pray and give. Okay? So if you're like, Mo, I don't mind supporting the ministry, like, I got some little money, you know, pray and give, that would be a blessing. Or pray, give, and be a part of the core team. Now, when you're a part of the core team, you're saying, I want to be an official member of the beloved Church of Kalamazoo. I want to meet here on a weekly basis, and I want to strategize and look how this church comes together and be a part of the planning, okay? Because we're going to be doing, I'm not going to be preaching every Sunday while we're here. We're going to have, like, next Sunday might be a circle of chairs. It might just be like this. But we're going to have dialogues. Like, what should this church look like? Like, what bothered you at all your other spiritual experiences? Okay, those are valid reasons. What does this church look like? Because as a church, as we continue to grow and exist, we want to be like, we want to be like a lead church where we say, you know what, the church is wrong. We repent. No, we hurt people. You know what I'm saying? We've done people wrong. We want to repent on behalf of churches, and we want to help get this thing right. All right? And I think that's kind of the uniqueness of our ministry. It's going to be wild, y'all, so book your seats, okay? So you can do that. All of you received the paper. You could join our launch team. Just scan the QR code, fill out the form. If you got a prayer request, we want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. So please fill that out. If you want to just stay connected, just like kind of know, be in the know, like what's going on, and without doing anything else, you can do that QR code. If you want to become a member and a launch team, that's a QR code. And we ask for specific information because we want to stay in touch with you. We want to follow up with you. We want to like say happy birthday on your birthday. Like we want to like be a part of your lives, okay? So you can become a member by doing that. And if you want to give and support the ministry, it's a QR code for that as well. Okay, no rush, no pressure. Okay, like real talk. I'm serious, because some of the spirit of religion, we're going to break it. No pressure. Okay, if you don't do anything, you are still loved. That's the point. All right, people are like, well, you don't give, you don't love God, God don't love you, you going to hell, you're going to be cursed. All right, we aren't doing that. Okay, so we're going to break that off your mind. Okay, of this performance stuff, because when you figure out how much God loves you, it's going to radically change everything. Good. All right, it's going to be wild. All right, so listen, with that being said, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then, y'all, we dismiss, okay? As we dismiss, say hi to somebody, say bye, nice to meet you, and, you know, grab some water or whatever, and we'll be back next week, all right? So, Father God, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you so much for entrusting us with this ministry. God, we trust and believe that you love us as a church, as a people, and that you will dwell in our hearts. So God, we ask that as we leave this place, as we go our various places, as we celebrate what you're doing in our lives, as we spend time with our family, as we eat good food, as we participate in our hobbies, as we get ready for the work week, God, we ask, Lord God, that you reveal to us, help us comprehend what is the depth and the length and the height and the width of your love. How much do you love us, Lord God, and enable us and help us have the capacity to receive your love. We love you and we thank you for the safety and protection of every household. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are dismissed. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you. All right.